The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a scholar of the law, tested him by asking, "Teacher, which commandment of the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest. This is the first commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." The Gospel of the Lord.
If you were to go to a restaurant or a bar tonight and you were cheering for the Astros, you might be getting some dirty looks, if not some reaction. So I don't know if any of you are praying for Astros, and hopefully someone's praying for them. Part of our reality when we have sports is that we have created a system that says you're either with one person's group or the other group. And in that dichotomy, we set things up in which my understanding is that God, in all of her greatness, is hearing all of our prayers tonight, and she's hearing some people say, "We've got to have Astros win," and she's hearing, "The Dodgers have to win." And in that, God is listening to both sides. And we see that that reality happened this morning. I know when I was speaking to the young people in juvenile hall, the assumption is those who are inside the hall are the bad people and all the rest of us are good people. And we set up these divisions that separate us from one another. And the scripture invites us to a different vision. Jesus invites us into a vision that says that God is going to love all of us based on how we love ourselves. Now, there was a little miracle last night in the midst of the game. If any of you were watching around the seventh inning stretch, all of a sudden, there were these pictures and names of people with cancer. And if you looked at it in a general sense, it was, there were Dodgers standing next to the Astros, and then there were other Astros next to other Dodgers. And there were people standing for about a minute in a public arena seen around the world for a moment of musical silence, that in the midst of our divisions, we can be pulled together. In the midst of that moment of an important game, there was this reality that things affect us as human beings, one of those being cancer. Another could be the disasters we've experienced over the last several weeks and months, between fires and earthquakes and tornadoes and all those terrible things. And somehow or another, those terrible things can bring us together. We also live in a unique moment in time where during the past week, so many women and others who have felt abused, sexually assaulted, have come forth and said, "It's happened to me." At all levels of our government, as levels of our neighborhoods, in the movie industry, that terrible sense of persons feeling disempowered, either by word or actions. And apparently it looks like in the next few days, indictments will be handed down in our own governmental structures. And we live in this moment of what is happening and where is God in the midst of this. In our first reading, we are reminded in the words of the sacred text that we are not to molest the immigrant, the outsider. It's a pretty strong opening statement that reminds us that however we verbally or in other ways abuse or harm or put people down or make them disempowered, the Hebrew text reminds us that that is contrary to God's ways. And so we have the opportunity in the midst of an international moment in which people are watching these two sides playing to realize that both sides have gifts, both sides have talents, both sides have legitimate reason to win, and the reality is that someone will go away not winning. And yet, we also have the moment to say both sides are winners. Both sides are using all of their skill as best as they can play to move forward humanity. You and I are invited in the midst of this in which we take sides to realize that in the end, this is a game in which human beings use their physical skills, their reflective skills, their ability skills to play a game. A game that was begun in the context of bringing people together, whether we are playing Little League or the big leagues. The scripture invites us to reflect tonight and in the days ahead. Do I believe the words of Jesus? When he was confronted between the Pharisees and Sadducees, clearly they wanted to trip him up. That was their agenda. They, like he as rabbis, knew the word, knew the law. All of them knew what was being asked. So what is the greatest teaching of all? What is the greatest commandment? Jesus invites us to that same reflection. What is the greatest commandment of law of all in the context of a game like baseball or in the reality of how we treat one another in life as women, as men, as children, whether it be gay or lesbian, whether it be elderly or children in the womb or outside the womb, how do we treat one another? The Hebrew text is clear. For us to be followers of our great God, we cannot molest anyone, outsiders or insiders. All are part of the community of God. And Jesus invites us to filter this through a simple lens. It's so simple, and we hear it so often that we often discount it. But it's the lens of every sacred scripture text of humankind. The Great Command, what Pope Francis said to the Congress when he came and spoke to them a couple years ago. To love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so as we continue with liturgy, the question is, do I love myself? Do I keep putting myself down and I'm not good and God doesn't love me and I don't meet all of the standards of God and so therefore I'm not worth anything? Because if we believe that, we can't hear God's word. Because he's telling us, God's telling us, Jesus is telling us that God loves us completely. And when we fall short, God is right there to lift us up, to forgive us, and bring us back to the team of life, to the community of faith. And he equally says that if we can believe that, and if we come to Mass here and say, okay, I fell short this week, I said some bad words, or I was dishonest with someone, or I didn't drive my car safely, I didn't do this or that, God says, thank you for being honest. And he forgives us of those sins so that we can then do the second part of that great command, to love our neighbor as ourselves. How am I going to love my neighbor? It's based on how I love myself. We are invited to that simple, simple message of all the sacred texts of history and time, and yet most difficult because we often either don't want to love ourselves, we've been trained to not love ourselves, or we really don't want to be in a relationship with the other. So I invite us to just take a moment to close our eyes and to think about your life and your family and your work and your school, and to think about the other. Who is that other that sometimes, if you're looking at the baseball game, where is all the blue? Last night it was all orange. Where's the blue? Where is us? And when they come to LA, they're going to say the same thing. Where's the orange? Why is it all blue? Who is the other in your life? It could be your child, your parent, your spouse. Could be a colleague at work. Could be someone at school that pesters you. Could be someone that have said some very harsh things to you. Maybe you've experienced sexual harassment. That other. Who is the other? And how might you and I this week love this other, our neighbor, as we love ourselves? Who is that other? And how might you and I love that other as God loves us and we love ourselves? The struggle of the World Series, like the Olympics, is that we see it as people against each other, either individuals or a team. But you and I also know that to get to the World Series, both teams are pretty amazing. They've already spent months working at this to come to this amazing point in time. Like the Olympics, those who show up at that last track meet or swim meet, they have been working on this for a long time. So even if they fall short by a few seconds, they still have done amazing things. It's not about winning and losing. It's not about them and us. It's not about me and the other. It's about us, God's family that is embraced and loved by a God that is forever. As we begin to end this month of Respect Life, we are invited to realize that embrace is so inclusive, from the unborn to those on death row, to the elderly that are often forgotten, to those who are suffering the effects of tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and the aftermath of shootings, for those who are in battle on both sides of those battles. We are called to know that we are all part of that community. And we have an opportunity this week to do something about that. And so this week we have this wonderful celebration called All Souls and All Saints Day, most commonly known in the United States as Halloween. Halloween precedes those two wonderful Catholic events, Christian events, in which we say this all is so inclusive that it includes all those who have died and that they're part of this welcomed, embraced community of God. They are there praying for us. They are there lifting us up. They are there cheering us along. They are there saying, we are all loved by God, that all life is sacred. May we allow these feast days to remind us of that bigger, larger family, that bigger, larger picture in which God reminds us that we are all loved. And we do that, we live that out by what Jesus says, love God completely and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.